You're listening to Modern Marketing, a podcast brought to you by Influicity. At Influicity, we build brand communities that drive revenue. Learn more at Influicity.com. On today's episode, Influicity Director of Client Strategy Ben Alberts speaks with Christine Gillis, Chief Product and Marketing Officer at Black Line Safety.
All right, Christine, welcome to the episode.
Hello.
Why don't you go ahead and share your first insight?
My insight is that as a marketer, your focus can misguide you. And so what I mean by that is I've participated and led marketing in many growth companies, primarily in the technology space. And what you typically see is that growth companies are focused on a small number of vertical markets, or even one vertical where they're seeing traction and some initial product market fit. And so then all the focus and support for the sales teams really go into chasing those customers in that specific vertical. And so what can often happen is that there's missed opportunities in adjacent verticals or other markets. And so what's ideal in terms of a strategy is that you would be pursuing multiple verticals, like 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 verticals in parallel, and building out demand gen activities, content that resonates with multiple verticals. Because what you want is to be set for when one of those verticals takes off. And so one of the examples from my own career that demonstrates this principle is at Smart Technologies, where I was for almost a decade. And that's a company that introduced the smart board, interactive whiteboard. It did not start out as a education-focused technology company. In fact, in the early days, we were focused on architecture. We were focused on the legal market. We were focused on many different verticals. The business segment, of course, was one of them. Broadcasting was another. And so we were pursuing in parallel many different verticals. And when education was set to take off, we were ready and we doubled down on that vertical.
So it sounds to me like what you're talking about is this tug of war concept between, do we want to go inch wide and a mile deep, or do we want to go a mile wide and only an inch deep?
100%. And it is tough because when you're in a small growth company, you obviously have limited resources. But I think it's really important that marketing leaders just shake it up a little bit and that they try out different verticals, even if it is a number of tactics that you put together, perhaps a landing page, perhaps really digging into what the ICP would be for a vertical and building out, maybe going to just try a light approach to these verticals in order to see where there's traction and make sure that you're ready. Again, things can change in a market. Regulatory changes in the B2B space are often something that drive adoption, and you can be ready, set, and ready to go.
Now, would you say there is a certain time if a marketer and teams are experimenting with, you know, a multitude of different verticals that they're after, does there come a time when it does make more sense to narrow into that 2 to 3 to 5 and just go full blast into that? Or do you think it should be constantly this experimentation with different kinds of verticals all the time?
Yeah, I think, Ben, it's the latter. I really do think that that's the key takeaway, is that, of course, it makes sense to maybe put 80% of your energy on a vertical that has taken off. But the point is that if you are not out there and you're not experimenting with other verticals or even other geographies, other channels, you may be missing the opportunity that's going to catapult your firm to the next level.
Now, I want to get a sense of, how did you come to this conclusion? Like, it sounds like potentially marketers are running through their days with the blinders on a little bit too much. When did you come to this conclusion yourself, I'm wondering?
I think it's been in the last like 5 to 7 years. Certainly also earlier in my career at Thor Technologies, We had a small team that was in New York, and that was a single sign-on solution. We were working really hard to sell that to actually Wall Street. So we were focused on financial services. And it was there that I experienced the pain of having our very small marketing team. It was maybe 1.5 people at the time. And it was our sales guys actually who said, you know, we actually should be a little more focused on enterprise broadly, and that it was the security requirements of our buyers naturally on Wall Street that they were really making it tough to sell to them. And that makes sense, obviously. But yeah, it's really been over the last maybe 5 years or so that I've noticed that this is an important strategy for tech marketers.
I like it. Always be available to something new.
Absolutely. We always have to be learning and listening to the salespeople and the market and getting out there in the market ourselves and trying new things to see what will stick.
I like the one team, one dream thought process with the sales and marketing working in partnership.
Yeah. Yeah, unified commercial engine is a term that I have used or I have also heard used repeatedly. And so I do like to, yeah, beat on that drum too.
I'm going to write that down. Unified commercial engine. Okay. I'm curious, what are perhaps 1 to 2 marketing strategies that you would like to use in your current organization that you have not yet had the chance to do?
Yeah, this is a painful one because I think every marketer out there is thinking in the middle of the night about the things that they haven't gotten around to doing yet. And so one thing I'd really like to do is a more of a thought leadership or top of the funnel type of activity around the future of work. I'd like to do some market research. And so our company works with health and safety. We offer health and safety devices, but we're working on helping companies digitize their workplaces. And so I would really like to come at this at a higher level, maybe partner with a research firm or even a university and publish some research on the future of work. That, of course, could be published into a research report and then perhaps get some broad business media. And I think that would ultimately help with brand building overall. It's sort of a big meaty project that I don't think we can do off the side of our desks well. And so I want to make sure that when it's time to do that, we do it right.
Lots of organizations that I'm talking to are bringing up more and more often this idea of brand building. Is I've heard in past conversations, brand versus performance, and sort of maybe there's a pendulum that where the larger priority lies. Where do you see that brand versus performance today, if you do see those in competition? And what would you say is the biggest reason that we're swinging one direction or the other?
Yeah, this is a classic debate. And having been in marketing roles for 20 some years, I do think the pendulum swings back and forth. And it also depends on who you're talking to, of course, and what their background is. I am seeing more and more that brand focused activities from tech companies are essential to sort of a go to market, and that ultimately they are driving the demand through. I will say that traditionally I have leaned the other way and really believed that brand is built through every single interaction, even in the demand gen or sort of content marketing funnel. Mm-hmm. And so, but I think I've seen more and more tech companies. Float is an example of a financial services company that's in Toronto. It looks like you know them as well. Yes. And so they have done some really interesting high-level brand advertising that's across Canada, and even did a TV commercial as well. And so that's a perfect example of where, you know, I've paused and thought to myself, like that's a different go-to-market strategy for a growth company. And it's really made me think about what we are doing at that higher level in terms of brand marketing, especially with our 20-year anniversary that's coming up. I think it's time for us to do something that's a bit more on the brand side, whereas traditionally we've been really focused on driving that demand.
This podcast is brought to you by Influicity. Since 2015, we've been building brand communities that drive revenue. First, we did it through influencers. Then we added podcasts. Today, we work with world-class brands to build, optimize, and run breakthrough programs that create and capture demand. It's time to stop renting your influence and start owning it. Learn more at Influicity.com.
Celebrating a 20-year anniversary, certainly the channels that you would market across have changed over those 20 years. Where do you see perhaps as some channels that could be your heroes today that maybe were not the case, you know, 5, 10, 20 years ago?
Oh, that's a good question. You know, I think there's just a resurgence of in-person that's super important. The more I'm talking to marketers all the time in the community, but it's not these like highly produced events any longer that I think are really gaining traction. People kind of want to either like lunch and learn or wine and cheese or even like something more casual as a get together. And that maybe it's, you know, 30 to 50 people, really regionalized, localized events. So I think overall marketers should be thinking about what is a way to pull people together, even if it's like a customer and maybe a channel partner, maybe a thought leader, and just some prospects, and have kind of more of like a fireside chat or a wine and cheese Q&A. Because I think, again, people don't necessarily want to go to a like overproduced event, but they do want to show up in their jeans and have a beer or a glass of wine or a coffee with someone and learn something over a lunch hour.
People want to be people.
Yeah, exactly. There's it's taken some time to honestly come back to getting out there. I've heard that as a theme too from other marketers, is it's time to get out from behind our screens.
I totally agree. And again, in conversations I have, it seems that there is just as much emphasis being put on in person as there is with my TikTok strategy, my YouTube strategy, my Instagram strategy, my online strategy. How can I also make it, you know, authentic and organic connections as well?
Yeah. And, you know, too, podcasting, obviously, like I must admit, I was a little skeptical of the staying power of podcasting. But now the number of people that I know that are just always sort of got an ear pod in their ear, whether they're walking the dog or doing the dishes or folding the laundry, and they're consuming their professional content in that way. Or sometimes it's sort of like it's just on in the background, even while they're working away in their offices.
Totally agree. Okay, I'm going to ask you to get the crystal ball out. What is a prediction that you have in the world of marketing for 2024?
Okay, well, it is AI related, not surprisingly. That's what everyone is talking about. And so what I think a prediction is we're going to see an evolution in the types of roles that marketers need to hire for and the skill sets that they're looking for. And so specifically how this is related to AI is that I think there'll be a pause on hiring sort of junior writers and junior content producers, and that what we'll be looking for is marketers who are skilled with AI tools and specifically how do you work with them? What are excellent prompts, to be honest, and what is working? And these tools are evolving so rapidly. And to be honest, I think there's a lot of marketers out there that are sort of taking a wait and see approach, and they're waiting to see how AI tools shake out. But I think the ones that will win are those who are in there every day and experimenting with these tools. I can't say it enough that marketers need to just get in there and roll up your sleeves and start to experiment. And those are the skill sets of tomorrow. So I think there's going to be an evolution in the types of roles that marketers are hiring for.
This is tying back to your initial insight, is getting in there, being experimental, try things, see what works, see what doesn't, double down on whatever is working.
You have to be humble and you have to be scrappy, I think, as a marketer. Yeah. And you never arrive because it's always changing, especially in the digital marketing space.
Yeah. You've had an amazing career over 20 years of marketing. You've worked at different types of organizations, startups, enterprise level orgs, everything in between. What are some tried and true principles that you could share with more junior marketers?
Well, I think curiosity around your customer and really getting in the head of your prospect and your customer. So it's very easy to talk to marketers and they'll just say, oh, this is our ICP or this is our persona. But what I see is as a gap is that kind of ethnographic approach, or like be an anthropologist and get super curious and learn about who your customer is. It's likely that you're talking to someone who, frankly, is not you as the persona. Your buyer is often not you, your demographic, and does not have your experience and background. And so I would say listen more. I think talk to customers in person, get out from behind your desk and attend their conferences, get curious about them. This is something that I think, again, a lot of marketers end up sort of taking a cheat sheet around an ICP or here's, you know, a definition of who we're talking to. But do they try to get inside the mind of that buyer and understand their fears and their motivations? That I think is a gap. And that would be my guidance to junior marketers.
I love it. Get inside the mind.
Absolutely. And get curious and ask questions of them. Everyone loves talking about themselves. Then the other thing I would say is don't ever forget that you're selling change too as a marketer. And especially, this is especially in the tech space, is that the technology adoption curve is well understood. But when you have a buyer who's signing up for a new product or service, they internally have to sell change to their peers, to their leadership. And so there is some fear there, and there's their professional reputation is on the line. And so there comes a time in every sort of buyer journey where salespeople experience that sort of pause and concern and a stall out. I bet you 9 times out of 10 that that's related to fear around change. And so understanding the principles of change management and then building out content that is centered around the principles of change management, I think that's super key in order to help your buyer sell up and sell horizontally the change that they're introducing.
Incredible. Christine, thank you so much for being a guest on the show today.
Thank you so much, Ben. It was great to meet you.
Thanks for listening to Modern Marketing. This podcast is brought to you by Influicity, empowering marketers to build customer communities that drive revenue. We create massive demand via social, influencer, content, paid media, and of course, podcast. Learn more at Influicity.com.